This is episode 40 of Trash Talking with Eco Warriors featuring Caro Shields and Vanessa Morish of Be an Unfucker.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host and founder of Trashy Beauty, Barbara Lee.
Before we get started, which you may have already noticed, but I have to warn you that there is quite a bit of swearing in this podcast. You may have already figured that out in the title, but if you've got small kids around or you're easily offended by strong language, I'd recommend that you probably don't give this episode a listen. If you do enjoy media that has an authentic voice and want to hear about the incredible story how Vanessa and Caro started their sustainability project, keep listening. I will preface it by saying that I hope that no one is offended by this podcast. Don't take the focus away from the specific language, but rather the lesson that these two entrepreneurs are trying to share. So, Vanessa and Caro went from being co-workers at an ad agency to becoming weekend friends. And while Caro was on her journey researching what individuals can do to curb their carbon footprint, Vanessa was living next door to Caro's sister, and she was worried about what her friend would say about her nasty, unsustainable habits. And so slowly but surely, Vanessa started changing her ways and researching what more she could do for the planet. Vanessa and Caro started talking about what they call positive peer pressure. It's the idea that if you start to make positive changes in your lifestyle, that others will live up to your expectations for sustainable habits, and they'll start doing them as well. They realized that this was actually quite powerful, and it's 100% something I believe in as well. I've seen it in my own life even. So without further ado, I hope no one's offended by the language. It is called Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, so let's get trash talking. Vanessa and Caro, welcome to Trash Talking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fantastic. If both of you want to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your project.
So I am Caroline Shields, and we run a social movement called Be an Unfucker. And the social movement is about trying to make being green and living eco-conscious, like living an eco-conscious life, accessible to everyone, regardless of if you're a big greenie or not. And we're doing this by changing the way that we talk about the environment and making it more relevant to our everyday life.
I'm Vanessa Morish. I am the other co-founder of Be an Unfucker. I am the writer in the project. So, I mean, together we developed the tone of voice, but my background is in writing, and Caro's background is in design and art direction. So we decided that we had everything that we needed to successfully make create a project that was really personal to us and something where we could use creativity for good.
So tell us a little bit more about Be an Unfucker. And I guess I should like put a warning that there's some explicit language in this episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of explicit language in our tone of voice. But
yeah.
The reason, I mean, people often ask us about the swearing, and the thing is, like, we swear in everyday life. It's just the way that we talk. It's not supposed to be gratuitous in any way. It's just supposed to be a reflection of us, and that's very much what this project is about. It's us in our writing. It's us in our design and our aesthetic, and we're just trying to use our creative energies to make a difference in the small way that we can.
Yeah, and so it's pretty fantastic. Can you explain a little bit more about like why this whole project came about and how you started it?
Yeah, so the project started out, Vanessa and myself were both working together. We were working together in an advertising agency, freelancing. And I guess I, at the time, this was probably about 5 years ago, and I had been getting quite into climate change, reading articles, watching docos, and just becoming more and more interested about what was going on and becoming more aware. And at the same time, I guess getting a little bit bored with, as Vanessa mentioned before, working and selling products that you weren't actually necessarily that passionate about and wanting to really kind of use your creative skills for good. At the same time, Vanessa and I started becoming weekend friends. And so we'd have conversations about potential projects that we could do together. And it sort of went from there. And at that point, Vanessa, I might get you to take over from this point. You can share your story.
Yeah. So as Caro was saying, we became weekend friends, and we both had projects that we had started and not finished. They hadn't been in the sustainability space. They had just been these random projects. And Caro and I both have about 10 different ideas for different projects, you know, even now where we want to do stuff, and it's just a matter of finding the time to do it. And we decided that if we did something together, we could encourage each other to actually finish it. So, so we decided to start Being on Fucker, and we gave ourselves a deadline to finish it by. So I think we gave ourselves 6 months to finish it, and we were both working full time and researching on the side and trying to work out what exactly we wanted to say. And as Carrie mentioned, she was just becoming more curious about what she could do for the environment. And as we became friends, I mean, I just used to recycle and that was it. And I felt good about that. Actually, I didn't really think about it too much. I used to live quite close to Carrie's sister. And I was really worried that she would see me. Okay, I'm going to admit it now. I used to bag my bananas. I used to put my bananas in a plastic bag because that's what I did
growing up. Just say it, Vanessa. Just say it.
I did it. I put my hand up. I totally did it. And I would go food shopping, and then I became worried that Caro's sister would see me, and then she'd tell Caro, and then Caro would think I was a bad person. And because we were just becoming friends, I really didn't want her to think that I was a bad banana bagging kind of person. So I noticed that I started changing my habits, and Carrie and I used to go for coffee when we were working, and Carrie bought me a keep cup, which is a reusable cup. And so it was these really small changes that I was making in my life and she was making as well. And we realised that there was something quite powerful in that, the idea of this kind of positive peer pressure. And we realised that all it sort of took was one friend or someone in your family to start making these changes, and that influences you as well. And it was at that point that we both kind of noticed this, and we were working on the project, and that's what shaped the idea that we wanted to ask people to change one thing and realise that it wasn't that hard. And after you change one thing in your life, you're like, okay, I can totally do this. I can not put my bananas in a bag. I don't have to do that. What else can I do? Oh, I don't need to put apples in there either, or I don't need to get a takeaway coffee cup, or I don't need to get a straw when I go out and have a drink. Like, there are all of these small things that you can do, and it influences other people in your life. So we thought that that was pretty powerful.
Yeah, no, this is really cool. And can you tell a little bit more about, like, what some of the things are, like, your tenets of Being Unfucker and, like, some of these different tips that you guys have?
So we have a website which has a sort of an A to Z of tips that people can start incorporating into all areas of their life. And we've broken the website down into different areas, things like out and about, at home, in the kitchen, at work, just to make it really easy for people to navigate the site. And they're just super simple things that people can do, which we've broken down into why it's fucked and what one thing you can change. And the reason that we did this is that we think that it's really important that you understand why you should change something before asking people to change something. And so, yeah, we've got a super simple list on the website, and these are things like, you know, ditching disposable plastic and using up what's in your fridge, like using up all your leftovers, washing in cold water, just things that you can, maybe you haven't thought about them in your day-to-day life because you're too busy, you know, doing other things. But when someone points them out, you're like, I can do that. That's pretty simple and straightforward. And it's just about creating new habits. And as Vanessa mentioned, we realize that I guess the hardest part is starting to do something. And so by asking people to just start by changing one thing and then making that a habit and then building on from that is an easy entry point to start doing something, because climate change and all the environmental issues can be quite overwhelming when you look at them as a whole. So breaking it down into the small bite-sized pieces is makes it a lot more achievable to do something. And then alongside the website, we also do weekly social posts, usually on Instagram and Facebook, and these cover like a different tip or issue each week, just to give people weekly reminders of things that they can be doing. And we've found that has gone really well, and people have been really enjoying getting those tips each week and also learning off each other in the comments and feed and things like that. So that's been really great.
Yeah, just to build on what Kara was saying, I guess what I'm trying to say is we don't want people to feel like they have to do everything, and we don't want to be, we're not the environmental police telling people what they should and shouldn't do in their lives.
Right.
The aim of what we do is to give people a smorgasbord of ideas that they can choose whether they they take up or not. And it's whatever works best in their life, and they can pick and choose what works. They can try different things. If it doesn't work for them, that's totally fine. Like, we're there to provide information and hopefully inspiration to people. And yeah, we definitely are not there to tell people what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing, because no one is a quote unquote perfect sustainability person.
Right.
And nor should they be. Like, everyone's human and you can only do what you can do. Yeah, so it's really important for us to just be there as an inspiration or a library for people.
So if each of you, because I love all of the tips that you have, and I also love, like, the very, it's very funny. You're like, okay, this is why it's fucked, and this is the one thing you can do. So why don't each of you pick your biggest tip that you could give someone?
I think we all have the power of our wallets and of our money and the choices that we make. And I think that we often forget that, like, businesses are sort of are powered by people, and it's up to us to choose who we want to support. So I'm a really big advocate for supporting business that's trying to do good, you know, profit for purpose businesses or social enterprises. And I think that that's something that we can all do, and we can easily do. It's just about making smarter choices and trying to support people who are trying to disrupt big business.
The one thing that I guess that I've been thinking more about lately in terms of weaving into making change in your life is around quick questioning things. I think quite often we go through our day without necessarily thinking about why things are the way that they are. Like, when we go and get our lunch, maybe it comes in like the takeaway and we just take that, and we take all of the things that come with it, like the plastic cutlery, you know, the sushi, fish, all of those things. Or maybe we take the, you know, drive our car home, or, and we go about maybe our days without putting too much thought into why things exist or happen the way that they do. And so for me, I think that one interesting thing to do, and maybe you just try it for one day, to start questioning why things are the way they are, and maybe why you're doing things in a certain way, so that you can start and look at areas. So as I gave the lunch example, you know, maybe when you go to lunch, you could take your own container with you and start packing that in your bag every day. Or instead of getting all of the things at the counter, like the plastic cutlery, you can ask them to not give that to you when you get your takeaway lunch. So yeah. It's just, yeah, I guess for me, questioning like the status quo and questioning why things are the way they are. Is there a better way of doing those things?
Yeah, for sure. I actually thought it was funny because you guys have the thing on your post, the weekly facts. And I really like some of them, especially like the one about like the little sushi soy sauce fish. And I actually just recently got sushi, and they put the silly artificial grass thing in my sushi container. Yeah. And I'm like, it's already bad enough that it's coming in the takeout container, but the fact that you put like this silly piece of plastic that's supposed to like be a fake piece of grass, it's just, it's so useless. Like, it doesn't do anything for my food or the aesthetic or anything. Like, it actually just, like, made me really ticked off.
I saw a sushi fish window display the other day.
Oh, God.
Beautiful. Yeah.
That's actually an interesting point, Carrie, like, talking about questioning things, because I was listening to a podcast this morning about how questions are kind of beat out of us at an early age. And when you're 3 or 4, you know, you hear little kids and they're like, why is the sky blue? Why do I have to wear shoes? Why do I have to wear socks? And we don't really encourage questioning. We treat it like it's a bit of a pest kind of thing. Especially at school, because the people who are rewarded are the people who know the answer to something rather than the person who's questioning it. And I thought that was a really interesting point, because it's so true. Because like, whenever someone puts up a hand to ask a question, you're kind of, or when I ask a question, I sometimes feel like people think that I don't know what I'm doing, or they would be like, why are you asking that? Like, isn't that totally obvious? But like, we live in a culture where we're not rewarded to ask questions.
Sure.
And yeah, I thought that was really interesting. So I'm gonna start doing that from today onwards. I'm gonna ask lots of questions.
Yeah, I get funny. I'm known as the quirky one at work.
But every workplace, and like, everyone needs a quirky, crazy person to keep them in line. And thank you for doing that duty. Like, yeah, like every workplace needs someone like you. I'm really interested in trying to change people's view on something, and I'm really interested in using a creative channel to do that. I think I felt really burnt out after so many years working in advertising, and I felt like my 9-to-5 was really meaningless, and I just felt really negative. You spend so much time at work every day, and I needed some kind of outlet where I felt like I was balancing out all of the bad stuff that I'd been doing. Mm-hmm. So it was, I suppose the initial reason was to try and make me feel a little bit better about myself and how I spent my time. And I realized that I didn't have to be trying to sell shoes or health insurance or cars. Like I could be using my skills for something else, and maybe I wouldn't get paid for it, but I would get so much more satisfaction out of it.
But why environmental issues to begin with? Like, why are you interested in helping the planet? Like, why not, I don't know, like small animals or health care?
I'm allergic to most animals, so probably not that. I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, how I realized that I was changing my behavior to, I guess, to kind of impress Caro. Yeah, I thought that was a really powerful thing. And then the more that when we started researching everything for the site, I realized how destructive human behavior has been. And I just felt awful and kind of helpless about it. The world is really beautiful and there are so many amazing things and we're so lucky to live here, yet we destroy it, and it's our behaviour is disgusting. And so I felt really personally motivated by that to try and just do some ass kicking, because that's what I like doing.
Yeah.
What about you, Carol? What was your, when did you first realize?
I mean, much the same points as Vanessa, but for me, I guess I've always had quite a strong affinity with nature and wildlife. And I guess that stems from growing up in the far north of New Zealand, surrounded by like beautiful beaches and national parks, and going out, boating and camping and all of those sorts of things. And then I guess I, went to uni and studied design and advertising and got carried away with that for a good while. And did the whole travelling overseas and through developing countries and saw a lot of amazing and also sad things. And, yeah, I guess for me about 5 or so years ago I got to the point where I was feeling a bit depleted, the same as Vanessa, with work, and I just got back from travelling and through Central America. And I was reading a lot of these, articles on climate change and environmental devastation and all of these things. And I think I was just feeling, like most people do when they start on this journey, just quite mad, mad that we weren't doing better than we were doing, and that all these things were happening, and it felt like none of my friends knew anything about it. For me, because I feel like I do have quite a close connection growing up with being surrounded by nature, and it's kind of a place that I go to, or most people go for peace and enjoyment, and just seeing it destroyed through ignorance and selfishness kind of behavior, I couldn't handle that anymore. And I was trying to think of how I could use the skills that I'm using to sell things that mean nothing to me to basically, I guess, sell the plight of the planet and how we could kind of be doing better and bring some other people along for the ride and talk to people. I mean, Vanessa and myself don't come from a trained sustainability background, not big greenies or, wouldn't go and tie themselves to a tree or that sort of thing. How can we talk to them and how can we change their minds and get them on board? And I think the approach that we've taken to that is to just try and make our messaging more accessible to the likes of our friends. So making it a bit sweary, making it look good, explaining things and cutting out the jargon so that they don't feel like they're being talked at as opposed to included in the conversation. So, yeah.
When we were researching the site, all we saw were pictures of arid lands and polar bears floating on icebergs that were tiny and a really overly used green, that sort of really gross green. And we were like, okay, no green is allowed on our site. We're not using green in our colour palette. We're gonna be anti-green. Anti-green greening.
Aqua's okay.
Aqua is totally fine, but that kind of IKEA green is not fine. that was really important to us. And we made the site for us, essentially, for us and our friends. And so our friends would start sharing it and they would start making changes in their life. And yeah, this project did not start off as being anything big other than, okay, let's take 6 months to actually finish something and be proud of something. We set ourselves some, like a measurement of success, and our measurement of success was that 1,000 people would look at the site, like over time, like over, I don't know, like 5 years or however long it was. We were shocked because I think we had something like 5,000 people look at the site in,
wow,
48 hours, and we were like, holy shit, like, wow, people were actually interested in something that we've done, and maybe the messaging that we had worked hard on, we'd sort of set about as trying to change something for ourselves and our friends, like really resonates with other people, and maybe this thing that we kind of just approached as a side project is something a lot bigger, which it ended up being.
Yeah, that's super cool. Where, I know that you both kind of had this like similar break in your career, and I think it's really interesting because I think this happens a lot to a lot of people. I know I've hit that point before and I hear it from my friends. What's your biggest piece of advice for someone?
I think for me, my advice for that would be to just start doing something like on the side, like to start investigating the things that you're interested in, that the direction that you might want to go. For example, Vanessa and I, when we were trying to think of, you know, what we were going to do, we'd go to like lunchtime talks around things that we were interested in, or just kind of start getting to surround ourselves and be inspired by people that were doing the things that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And in that way, obviously that led to us kind of starting a project ourselves, and we had no idea that it was going to go anything beyond what it was, you know, when we first shared it with our friends. And I think that if you start making active steps in terms of working towards those things outside your day job, then things start to come together in, yep, ways that you might not necessarily imagine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. My advice is based on stalking. So I think I encourage people to find a company that they love and they would prefer to spend their majority of their life or their working life working at. And so I would research a place and then I would find the person that you need to talk to, and I would make a really interesting job application or a pitch letter to them, and don't take no for an answer. Get your foot in the door that way. It doesn't always work, but if you pitched yourself in an interesting way and introduce yourself in a very human way and talk about your passion and your passion for the business or wherever you want to work, I think that will shine through. And even if they don't have a position for you at that time, they will remember you. It's about timing and passion and perseverance. And I think if you have all of that stuff, then you can get out of working in advertising or whatever it is that you're doing and you're not enjoying, and you'll be able to find something that you love. And I just, life is too short to work somewhere that you don't like.
Yeah, no, that's great. So I guess two questions for you to follow up on that. What's your favorite brand or company to kind of follow and see what they're doing?
So my answer is totally biased. I'll say it anyway. It's my daytime job, which is at a company called Who Gives a Crap. And
that was going to be my one.
I was only able to get this job, I think, through my work at The Unfuckers. But more about them, they are a toilet paper company. So we donate 50% of profits to help build toilets in developing countries. Pretty insane that there are 2.3 billion people out in the world who don't have access to something as simple as a toilet and basic, yeah, sanitation. Absolutely huge problem, but luckily we know what the solution is, and that's to build toilets. And so we sell toilet paper and tissues and paper towel and donate 50% of profits to our charity partners who do some amazing work. And everyone needs toilet paper. everyone does poos, and so I would highly recommend using Who Gives a Crap.
I subscribe and I love it. And honestly, like, the packaging is just brilliant. There's these funny quotes and things on it. I especially love my emergency rolls, my golden emergency rolls.
Oh, you've got a posh bottom then. You have bamboo.
Yes, I do. We went for the posh as possible. And quite honestly, I was actually just talking to my roommate about this. It's still cheaper for us to get that from you guys than it is to go to a bodega here in New York City and pick it up. And then there's no plastic packaging involved, which I love.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. I'm so glad to hear that.
Now, Carol, pressure's on you. What's your company?
Pressure. One that I've more recently discovered. Maybe I'm behind the times, but Veja. Now, I may be pronouncing it wrong, the sneaker brand.
No.
How do you spell it?
V-E-J-A. Anyway, they're a French brand, but they work with, like, Brazilian cooperatives to produce sneakers. I've ordered some, which I'm going to pick up when I'm back in Sydney. They call themselves a conscious sneaker brand, and so they look into the sourcing of everything that goes into making their sneakers, as well as fair pay. I think that I wanted to highlight these guys because I find it really hard to find shoes, like ethical shoes or shoes that have some kind of environmental conscience. I am looking forward to trying them out.
That's super cool. I haven't heard of that shoe company, but I'm definitely going to look them up. And I'm definitely going to link it in the show notes for anyone who wants to look up that brand as well.
I think it's also, I guess trying to remember to cut each other some slack. You know, mm-hmm. when we have different things come up. But I also think another big one that I had was also to not let it consume you, or like be overwhelmed by all of the things that you're learning and all the horrible things that are going on. Yeah, kind of being able to let yourself get angry about those things, but then try to think about, okay, those things are awful. What are the solutions to them? Like, how can mm-hmm. we address those? Like, how can we make things better? And even, like, if it's just in a small way, trying to, I guess, approach it from, yep, get angry, but then you turn that anger into some form of action.
I think a challenge as well that we've faced is facing some kind of trolley kind of people, which I think everyone,
yes.
like every brand kind of experiences at yeah. one point or another, and just trying to navigate that. When you get people who like shit on like everything you do, you're like, come on, like I've been at work all day. We're just trying to put something out there. You don't have to listen to this. In fact, you don't even have to follow us. Just unfollow us. Like, we don't care. Navigating that and not letting it get to you personally and responding in the right way.
How do you stay yeah. inspired, like on a daily basis when you have like this person like trolling you? And I would imagine that you guys could just probably just like curse them off or something, like, since that's part of the brand. But like, how do you stay inspired to continue this work?
I mean, for me, it kind of goes back to what I was talking about before, in terms of having a massive respect for like nature and as a place of like beauty and peace and just somewhere to go. Other thing is that we also get, obviously we get, you know, the trolley types, but we also get a lot of amazing emails. Like, we got one the other day from someone, a cafe owner, and she was asking us about if we had any more reusable cups, advice on, you know, she wanted to stick up some communications around encouraging these people in the small town that she was in who weren't very conscious of being a bit more eco-friendly with their habits, was trying to ask us for advice around that, how she'd been inspired by the tips that she'd been reading and then how it'd been really helpful, and she was sharing that with other people. And I think when you hear stories like that, it's like, oh, that's cool. Like, some people are reading and people are, like, learning things. And, you know, if we keep doing this, then more people will kind of change their ways and be educated around some of these issues.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, like, I guess that combination of loving nature and keeping it beautiful combined with these kind of things is what keeps me motivated to keep going.
Cool. Yeah, I would definitely agree.
Yeah, no, same. I hear you. I do want to try and wrap up quite shortly because I want to be mindful of your time. But I guess tell us about your craziest story regarding like work or nature or sustainability.
So my story isn't my story, but it's a great story that my friend told to Caro and I. So she works in retail, and she works in quite a sort of posh homeware store, and she basically refuses to give people plastic bags. If anyone asks her for a plastic bag, she'll give them a lecture, and she is on her second formal warning at work. Should refrain from harassing customers who want to buy, you know, slow cookers and, like, you know, linen serviette, that if they want to take a bag, they're totally entitled to. And she's just like, no, they're not. She moves displays around that have any, like, excess packaging. She'll move them to the back.
She's great.
I think she's, like, the best kind of inspiration, that it doesn't matter what you do or what kind of job that you have, you can make really small changes that can totally make a difference. Everyone has to work, and everyone works in different places, and there are so many things you can do to unfuck your workplace.
Wait, and what was this other story that you guys went to some kind of parade or something for being an unfucker?
Oh, yeah. So Vanessa and I, it was our first climate change parade in Melbourne. And so we had our big signs up saying "Be an unfucker" drawn all over, and we're marching down the street with the signs above our head. And most people were like, yeah, that's great. Like, yeah, be an unfucker, cool. And we probably got 2/3 of the way down. A woman probably in her 50s walked past us, looked at the sign, gave us a bit of a scowl, and then informed us that it was not appropriate to use swearing at any time. That was the only response that we've had of that kind, really. But, you know, it's not everyone's bag.
Yeah, I think that was also the time that we realised that our name could be construed in different ways, like Bean yeah. Fucker Bean and fucker. Be a Nun Fucker.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we didn't realise that our name had so many different creative kind of anagrams.
So who knows how many people end up at our site by accident.
But that's okay, because, you know, they get a pleasant surprise and they might learn something.
Exactly. We're inclusive of everyone.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh, I didn't realise that. Yeah, I see it now. And you've stuck to your branding. I'm super proud of you guys.
Yes, now we like it.
We've stuck with it.
Well, thank you both so much for being on the show. This has been a really hilarious chat.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
I think what I really loved about this episode, aside from Vanessa and Caro being good friends and such hilarious people, is the fact that Vanessa herself said that no one could be a perfect sustainability person. I think this is a great way to frame it, because striving towards perfection can be really tough and disheartening. And we're all about small incremental changes that can make a bigger, longer lasting impact for the planet. As you heard in the episode, both Vanessa and Caro have day jobs where they work for a toilet paper company called Who Gives a Crap. The company makes paper products like toilet paper and paper towels from renewable sources like bamboo and recycled paper. They also donate 50% of the proceeds to building toilets in developing countries. I use them myself, and it's such a simple, elegant solution to getting toilet paper for our entire household that I can truly feel good about. I would definitely check them out. They have a special where if it's your first time ordering, you can get $10 off of your order. Go ahead, find them online, order the crap out of however much you need for your 3 or 4 month supply. And until next time, Eco Warriors, stay green.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram @trashybeautyco.